జయం నిఖిలీలా ప్రవిష్ణు విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సరస్వతి శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షి ప్రభుపాదికి అరిందగుడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి రామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవ భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గౌ గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామికి రాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథపురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తి దేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి
నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారి
Now, and we'll go into this part in the Bhagavadam, which is in the fourth canto, Prithu. We'll pick different subjects from different places, a different way, so that we don't forget. This thing has to be hammered again and again, otherwise it won't get in and stay there. So the best thing is always to swap and change all the time. And one subject to another and come back again later to 10 cantos sometimes. So, one thing is, the purpose of all this studying Srimad Bhagavatam, message is the same, what is in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Bhagavatam. So, when we study from different topics in the Bhagavatam, you will always find that practically the message is the same, that how to understand Krishna. How to develop that relationship with Krishna. And Bhagavatam is nothing but a series of episodes saying to us how different devotees connected themselves with Krishna in different ways. So everywhere you will notice the same thing and their background, in what situation it happened and when it happened, what all the circumstances were. So here you can see, if you look into the fourth canto, this is an important incarnation of Krishna. Which one? Prithu. Prithu's incarnation. It's one of the most important incarnations. And many, many devotees have taken this Prithu Maharaj's instructions very, very seriously. They consider very important in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prithu Maharaj's instructions. In the fourth canto, as you know, that it starts with the 20 and 21, the two chapters, that's what we are going to discuss today. That Prithu Maharaj story we have discussed before, but we'll just talk through these two chapters. You remember, Prithu Maharaj performed a lot of sacrifices, right? Ashwamedham sacrifices. Sacrifices was the process of spiritual life in those days. Karmagandam, Yajnam. And Prithu was the classical example of that. Krishna appeared in front of Prithu Maharaj, and that is how the last chapter was finished, in the 19th chapter. So, Krishna was very pleased with all the yajnam. He came and stood in front of Prithu, and Krishna says to him, this is a very interesting scene there, what happened. Prithu Maharaj was performing sacrifices. Indra came and tried to stop it. Isn't it? All that story you haven't forgotten, I hope. Yeah. So, Indra was trying to stop the sacrifices. And then, finally, Krishna appeared. And there is a scene there. Krishna is standing in the middle. Mahavishnu form now. Mahavishnu form. He's standing in the middle. In the front, Prithu Maharaj is standing, and behind Mahavishnu, Indra is standing. All three personalities are one and the same. It is Mahavishnu is standing in front as Prithu, because it's an incarnation of Vishnu. And behind him, Indra is standing, who is also Vishnu. Who is also Vishnu, isn't it? Indra is also Vishnu's incarnation, is this. So, Prithu in the front, Mahavishnu in the middle, Indra standing behind, hiding behind him, because he is ashamed for what he has done. He stole the horses, you remember, in the sacrifice, and he tried to stop the sacrifice because he was getting envious of Prithu. He thought that Prithu may take over his position. So therefore, naturally, he got upset, and as usual, he tried to do that with everybody. So he did that with Prithu also. So, in Swayambhuva Manu Manandaram, Swayambhuva Manu's, that Manu's time, all these three are Krishna, Vishnu himself, and so therefore, Melpathur said to Krishna, you are playing this role of all the three. He comes as Indra in the front, Prithu in the front and Indra at the back, and he's standing in the middle. He said, so with three forms you are interacting each other. Krishna is Prithu, Krishna is also Indra, isn't it? And another, in the fourth canto you will see in the first chapter itself, Yajna is Indra. That's how it is mentioned. Yajna is Indra. For example, Ruji Prajapati, you will see, and Dakshina, they got married, and from there, Krishna appeared. The different incarnations are spoken. There you will see Vishnu has appeared as Yajna in that. And that Yajna has a responsibilities mentioned there. In the first Manu's time, Yajna was given the position of Indra. If you look in the first chapter of that fourth canto, you will see all this explained there. That Yajna was given the responsibility of Indra, and in the Manvantara Shalkam, it is called. Shalkam means six things are spoken there. What are they? That means in the first Manvantara, that means Swayambhu Manu's time, Indra, then Manu's son, then Krishna's appearance, avataram, all the three is Yajna. Yajna is just doing all the three jobs there. He comes as Indra, and he becomes Indra, and he comes as Swayambhu Manu's son, and also he is also the incarnation of Vishnu. All three roles one person is playing there. And then apart from that, so if this Manvantara Shalkam, you got to understand what it means. That means it will define in each Manu's time there should be one Indra. Who that Indra will be decided first. Then there will be the son of the Manu will be mentioned. And then the incarnation of Vishnu, who that is, three. Then all the demigods who take their positions, four. Then who the Manu is, five. And who the seven sages are, Saptarishis. So these six things are defined for every Manu's period. And they are called Manvantara Shalkam. Shalkam means six. So Manvantara Shalkam means defining these six responsibilities, who performs them. For example, Saptarishis, the rishis, seven rishis in each Manu's time will change. Like Vedavyas in Manvanu, Parashuram comes, Jamanagni comes, Vishwamitra comes. All of them are rishis in different times. Kannu Maharshi comes, Markandeya Maharshi comes. So all the great rishis are given one position. They are called Saptarishis, seven rishis. And in each Manu's time, their position will change. Manu's time is a very long period of time. So these seven rishis, they change. The seven rishis, that position is changed and offered to different rishis at that time. And all our famous rishis take up those positions in these Manu's times, in the different Manu's times, right? And then the Manus will be defined, who they are, like Swayambhu Manu, Chakshusha Manu, Vaivastada Manu, Savarni, like that. The whole list is there in the 8th canto also, you can read that, it's mentioned there. Then who all the demigods are, they're also mentioned, the important demigods mentioned there. apart from that, who the Indra will be, then who the son of the Manu will be, and who will be the incarnation of Vishnu. So these six things is called Manyantara Shalkam. For each Manu, it will vary. So here in this Svayambhuvanu's time, what happened was, Yajna has taken over three positions. He comes as the son of Svayambhuvanu, he comes as Indra, and he comes as the incarnation of Krishna. All three positions taken over by one person, by Yajna. So here, behind Krishna, Indra is standing there, hiding behind him, and feeling a little bit shamed for what he has done. And that time, that's what is, you will see there, Bhagavan api vaikuntham maitraya vacham Bhagavan api vaikuntha sakham makhavada vibho yajnyer yajnyabadistushto yajnyabhoktam abhashadam Shri Bhagavan uvacham eshade karshid bhangam hayametha shadasyacha Kshamapayadamatmanam amushyachandum arhasi. That verse itself you can see, Krishna is saying, when I say Krishna, Mahavishnu is saying to Prithu Maharaj that you should, this Indra who is standing behind me, he had tried to stop your Ashwamedham sacrifice, the 100th Ashwamedham. 100th Ashwamedham. To 99 Ashwamedham he has performed. Who? Prithu. Therefore, he got the title as Ekona Shatakratu. Shatakratu means one who has performed 100 sacrifices. Ekona Shatakratu means 99 sacrifices. Because 100 sacrifices, if you perform, that means he should become an Indra. So that is what was worrying Indra there. So he came and tried to stop it. And therefore, Prithu Maharaj agreed to stop it. Ekona Shatakratu title he got. And now, because he has stopped Prithu Maharaj from completing the 100th sacrifice, Mahavishnu decided to interfere in that. Prithu Maharaj wanted to teach Indra a lesson for what he has done. But Brahma comes and speaks to Prithu Maharaj and told him, it is not good to feel enmity towards others in this way. After all, Indra is also one of the incarnations of Vishnu. Indra should come and apologize to you, but you should forgive him for that, for what he has done. That's how Brahma puts it to him. So here Krishna appears, Vishnu comes there and says to Prithu Maharaj that Indra has stopped your 100th sacrifice, hasn't he? But still you should forgive him, he says. Because he asked for forgiveness, he says, Eshadekarshid bhangam hayameta shadasyacha kshamabayadam altmanam amushya chandumarhasi. That he has done a mistake, but you should forgive him. And then, what did he say? You have that, you are qualified, he says, to forgive him. To qualify, to revenge is easy, to forgive is more difficult, isn't it? To revenge someone is very easy. You can take weapon in the hand and start acting straight away. But to forgive is very difficult. And that's what's pointing out. Krishna is pointing out that there. He says, Sudhiyas, that verse is very important. Sudhiyas sadhavo loke naradeva narottama na bidruhandi bhudebhyo yarhi alma kalebaram. Why does people find it difficult to forgive others? Because Krishna is explaining that body is not the soul, he says. Body is not the soul. And those who know this, those who have this realization, they will not, that body is not the soul. Because any offense you commit to somebody is all on the bodily level. isn't it? On a spiritual level, you can't offend anybody. On a bodily level, also, this enmity, hate, and anger, it's all based on the body, is it not? Everything is based on the body. So Krishna is saying there that intelligent people, says, Sudhiya sadhavo loke, naradeva narottama, nabi druhandi bhudebhyo, erhi atma kalevaram. They will never falsely identify the self with the body and develop enmity towards other living entities. That's their qualification. Intelligent people who have deeper understanding of the self, they will never identify falsely with the body and develop enmity and hate towards other living entities. One very broad statement. And you can see when you accept Krishna's philosophy, you can see that is the truth, is it not? Therefore, you can see particularly in Krishna's dealings with the people, if you observe, there is no hate anywhere. Whatever has to be done has been done and left there itself. And in all the different pastimes, if you look, that with Pudana, Krishna has shown the highest mercy, send her back to spiritual world. Even with, what's his name, Paundraga Vasudev, who dressed up and challenged Krishna, Krishna laughed at him and told him, you also go back to spiritual world. That is the benefit of being on the spiritual platform. When we are on the bodily platform, we have strong identification with the body. Somebody is a friend, somebody is an enemy. We say he's a good friend of mine, and we say somebody else is our enemy. This friend and enemy, where is that coming from? It's coming from the body. Bodily identification. On a spiritual level, there is no friend, there is no enemy. There is only one thing, Atma alone. So that is what Krishna is pointing out there. Sudhiya sadhavo loke naradeva narottama na vidruhyanti bhudebhyo yarhi atma kalevaram. That they will not give those people who have that realizations, they wouldn't give trouble to anybody, knowing very well that the body is only a temporary thing. It is not his identity. It's a temporary manifestations. And then he says, Purusham, that, and they are called, Krishna calls them as Narottama. Narottama, he says, Sudhiya sadhavo loke naradeva Narottama. Narottama, he says there. So Krishna says too, to Prithviraj, so you are a qualified person. You have performed 99 Ashwamedham sacrifices, encouraged all his subjects to engage in spiritual life, brought them up spiritually. So you are a qualified person. You know better, he says, that you have to forgive him. You cannot act like anybody else. You are in a higher state, isn't it? And that's only a proper way to behave. Therefore, you should forgive Indra. That's what he said. And so that's what it is. So here's Naradeva Narottama. That Narottama. I mean, good intelligence. They have got good intelligence. And they are pious. And everybody who has got a human body is not Narottama. Everyone who has got a human body is not Narottama. When does Nara become Narottama? When does he become? You will see this word when Naram Jaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tado Jayamudireyal, isn't it? When does Nara become Narottama? What does that word? How does it? Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Jaiva Narottamam. Krishna is saying here that Naradeva Narottama. When does Nara becomes Narottama? That is when he becomes Krishna conscious. When he realizes the truth, then he becomes Narottama. Whereas if somebody who is running around all over the world, I am doing everything, I am in control of this, I am in control of that, that person will never become Narottama. He cannot become Narottama. But one who is completely dependent on Krishna and recognizing that it is Krishna who is running this show here and everyone is acting according to Krishna's plans and everybody is completely under Krishna's control, they are the Narottamas. That is why in that verse, Narayanam Namaskritya നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയൻ. സോ വിച്ച് മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് കോൺസ്റ്റന്റ്ലി വൺ ഹൂ ഈസ് റിമെമ്പറിംഗ് നാരായണ കൃഷ്ണ നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യം, ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് പേഴ്സൺ നരം ചൈ നരോത്തമം, ഹി ബിക്കംസ് നരോത്തമ. One who is always paying offering respects to Krishna, which means that always conscious that Krishna is in control, not me. Narayanam namaskritya, that means always offering respects to Krishna. Krishna's position, Krishna is the controller, Ishwara. Narayanam namaskritya, that naram jaiva narottama, that nara becomes narottama, that becomes narottama. So and such persons who have become Narottama, they will never give trouble to anybody else in this world. And because they are always constantly paying obeisances to Krishna inside. That's what he's saying there. That yarhi naatma kalayabaram. Yarhi naatma kalayabaram. So what does they mean? That they know very well, this body what I see myself is not me. They know that very well, that I am not their, they are not their body, they are not their body. And therefore, nābhi druhyanti bhūdebhyo, because he has known that he is not the body, he is not that body anymore. For such a person, and one who is not trying to enjoy from through this body anymore, and trying to find some satisfy his desires through this body, such a person, he doesn't have to be dependent on anybody. Doesn't have to be dependent on anybody. He is a totally free person. And you are a person like that, Krishna says to Prithu. Krishna says to Prithu, you are such a person, isn't it? You are a sadhu and you are a narottama, both. See that? Sudhiya sadhavo loke നരദേവ നരോത്തമ നാഭി ദ്രുഹ്യന്തി ഭൂതേഭ്യോ യർഹി ആത്മാ കളയപരം. ആത്മാ കളയപരം. സോ യു ആർ എ സാധു, യു ആർ എ നരോത്തമ, ദെയർഫോർ യു ഷുഡൻ ടേക്ക് ദിസ് ഒഫെൻസ്. വാട്ട് ഇന്ദ്ര ഹാസ് ഡൺ, ഹി ഹാസ് കമ്മിറ്റഡ് എൻ ഒഫെൻസ്, ഹി ഷുഡ് ഹാവ് ഡൺ ദാറ്റ്. But because you are in an elevated state, saying to Prithu, you are in a higher state, you should forgive him because of that. And therefore, you should not think that you have been insulted or he has offended you in any way, but you should only forgive him. And if you are not able to forgive him, what does Krishna say? Next verse. If you are not able to forgive him, that's the next verse. If personalities like you get victimized by Maya, because that is Maya, to think, to revenge, to react strongly to situations is Maya. So if you are not able to overcome this Maya, then what was the purpose of all these years, your execution of spiritual life? He's asking the word there, you can see, Dirghaya Vruddha Sevaya. That's the word he has used. Krishna has used that word, Dirghaya Vruddha Sevaya. He says like that, isn't it? Now, that has to be understood properly. What is this Dirghaya Vruddha Sevaya means? Dirghaya Vruddha Sevaya, when Krishna is saying that, what implies is there that what was the purpose of all this Sarjana Samsargam or Satsangam? What was the use of all this? Because remember, Prithu Maharaj had a fantastic situation. In some level, they say Prithu has done even better than Ramachandra. Because in Ramachandra's time, Ayodhya had all opulences. People were not starving. People were all in a very comfortable situation already with Dasharatha Maharaj's rule. So only thing was that with Ramchandra's appearance, everybody became fully spiritually conscious. And eventually Ramchandra took everybody whoever wanted to go back to the spiritual world with him when he left this world, right? That was Ramchandra's situation. Prithvirajan's situation was, when he came, the father has created so much havoc here, Vena, isn't it? People were starving, there was no food, and the whole situation was awkward, totally awkward. You are given a kingdom to manage like this, everybody is starving, no food, Mother Earth is not releasing anything. Imagine the responsibility of the king then. But Prithu managed so well that taught the people why it is necessary to engage in spiritual life, number one, made them spiritually conscious and engaged them in that particular sadhana process of that time, which is yajnam, sacrifices. According to the time, the process of sadhana also changes. At that particular time in the history, in that Swayambhu Manu's time, in that particular yugam period, yajnam was the sacrifice recommended process. And so naturally Prithu Maharaj trained everybody to understand the process of yajnam, and they performed these sacrifices, yajnam, and in that way they executed their life in this world. The result was Bhumi Devi gave everything in plenty, and Prithu Maharaj also performed various reforms in his administration, and that way the whole people felt happy. Not only that, he told them the importance of Salsangam all the time, repeatedly. And he himself took the benefit from the four Kumaras of Salsangam. All these are lessons, always living as an example to the public. This is the difference in the modern world. They are examples. These kings, Prithu Maharaj, Ambarish, and Yudhishthira Parikshit, all of them, if you look at there, you will see their life is the example for the people to follow, because they felt the spiritual responsibility of the public in their shoulders. They carried that. Now nobody carries it. It's only 5 years, isn't it? You can go out there, do what you want, make maximum money and then run after that. Such a big difference between the modern world and the administration then. But Prithu Maharaj did that so well that at the end four Kumaras have blessed him. To receive spiritual instructions from four Kumaras means it is something unusual, extraordinary, that is, isn't it? So, Prithu Maharaj had this greatest fortune of receiving instructions from the Kumaras. Prithu Maharaj also executed his duty as a king, trained all the subjects in proper spiritual life, brought them up, pleased Mother Earth, with Mother Earth's cooperation, their material life was totally peaceful. In other words, they had time to execute spiritual life properly. So these are all things happened in Prithu's time, which hasn't happened in the same way in Ramchandra's game. So therefore, many people consider Prithu's incarnation one of the most important incarnations. And particularly that discussion between Prithu Maharaj and the four Kumaras, that's also important. So here, Krishna is saying to Prithu that Shramayama Bharam Jado Dirghaya Vruddha Sevaya. He says, Dirghaya Vruddha Sevaya. Vruddha Seva. Vruddha Seva means that Vruddham, Vruddha. What does Vruddha means normally? Old people. That's how we think, isn't it? But it is not in the Bhagavatam like that. For us, even in India, we say like that, Vruddha Sadhanam, that means old age home, where we put lock up all our old men. You stay there now. Your purpose is, job is done. You stay. That is Vruddha Sadhanam, it says. So, Shastram says, it's not good enough to be Vruddha. Vruddha means, the body, you will become a Vruddha no matter what you do. You'll become old one day, isn't it? So, Vruddha, when they use this word in the Bhagavadam, Vruddha is not referring to that. Because to become old with the body, you don't have to do anything. You'll naturally become old, is it not? You'll naturally become old. Body will get old. Whether you do something or not, the body on its own will become old in a natural way. So, But for such a long time,
besides
that, Dirghaya Vruddha Sevaya, you were engaged in this Vruddha Seva for a very Dirghaya, for a very long period of time. What was the benefit? Because body, when it is getting old, inside also, that vriddhi should happen. You should grow. One should grow inside. What that means is, body is getting old anyway. That you don't have to worry about anything. But the growth inside, that you have to worry about. If according to the old age, according to the body getting old, along with that, if inside has not grown properly, that proper development, spiritual development has not happened, then that's a serious thing. That's what Krishna is pointing at here. He's saying here, for example, the word vriddha comes from the word vardhana. Vardhana means it's getting increasing, vardhana. So vriddhi comes from that word. So vardhana has happened and he is a vriddha. When the body gets old, the vriddhi will be there, because of the body will get old anyway, that is vardhakyam. Along with that, the knowledge inside also should grow. The knowledge should grow, that is more important. Knowledge and realization in life should grow when one gets older. That means the samskaram inside should get better. The samskara means our mental development, our vasanas, our samskarams inside should all get better. And it is only then you can say that he has become vriddha. Not that the body has become old. Body will get old anyway. That doesn't require any certification. And by body getting old alone, you don't become a vriddha. Vriddha, you become only when the knowledge inside, realization inside, and that spiritual development has happened inside, then you become what is known as proper vriddha. Jnana vriddha, they are called. Jnana vriddha. Jnana vriddha means the knowledge inside has started working, and you will observe that as you get older, and with these realizations building up inside, you will start seeing the world in a different way, completely. Then, so that thinking is not there in the society today, is it? The 8-year-old man is also competing here with the 20-year-old person. This is the world today. 8-year-old person is competing with the 20-year-old in this world for whatever it may be. In Vyavaharam language, you can see here that when somebody dies, in the newspaper they will report, due to diseases in the old age, the person is dead, isn't it? Vardakya sahajam. That means due to the problems of the old age, the disease of the old age, the person is dead, isn't it? And so, when we talk about this word, vriddhi, or vardhana, when vriddhi gets there, the way of thinking and the development of our subtle body also has to happen. So, before the body gets old, vardhakyam, old age comes to this body, and before the body becomes vriddha, Krishna is saying, the inside thing should become vriddhi. Body becomes vriddha. Before that, the subtle body inside should develop vriddhi. Vriddhi means that that knowledge inside of life should get better. Many people you can see in this world, that they just live in this world, is it not? Nothing has changed for them. And whole life they are just busy with keeping this body somehow look good and satisfied with what happens in life and live a life like that. And eventually, when some of the things when these old people do, what they do, when you see that, you start wondering that what have they learned in their lessons, isn't it, in life. But Krishna's point is that jnanam inside, if that has not developed properly inside, then the body getting old doesn't mean anything. What doesn't mean? Anything. So, you can also see that body, material body is concerned, that the health, it will only remain healthy up to a certain period. After that, the health will go. You can't do anything about it, isn't it? So, when this body gets weaker, and when it starts collapsing, when it starts eventually leaving this world, and it becomes weakened, whatever you have acquired in this world when you had a healthy body, that means the wealth, all other sense gratification, whatever it may be, all of them will start leaving you one after the other. But if inside the subtle body has developed very well, jnanam has developed in the subtle body, in that situation, that even when all other things what you have acquired in the world is leaving you, including your health, if it is going away, at that time, what this jnanam does is, inside jnanam, that keep on developing. And when it is developing, these external developments happening to the body, the wealth, the acquisitions in this world, when they are all going away, the realizations inside is getting better. That is jnana vritta. That's the important principle. Krishna is mentioning that purusha yadi muhyanti vadrusha deva mayaya shrama eva param jado dirghaya vriddha sevaya. So, purpose of all this salsangam, sajjana samsargam, all purpose of all that is to develop this internal understanding and develop that knowledge inside. Not to do with the body. Body will go. So that when the body starts withering away and all the material acquisitions what you have acquired when you were healthy, when they are also going away, if the inside knowledge is developed strongly, these things will not become an issue. Will not become a problem. Will not become a problem. That is why it is spoken in that way. Very specifically, Krishna is saying that purusha yadi muhyandi tvadrisha deva mayaya shrama eva param jado dirghaya vriddha sevaya. Dirghaya vriddha sevaya. So, therefore, that time when other things are going away and the body is also giving trouble, at that time, they will not be disturbed. They will not be disturbed because they understand the body, what it is. They understand what this world is. They understand what you can expect here. Once you have that realization, these things won't disturb us. Otherwise, it will be hell. It will be hell. So, this is what Vriddhaya Jnana Sevaya. The Vriddhas, what they do is, they cultivate this knowledge inside so strongly that they will not get disturbed by all the changes that is happening in this life. So, when at the end of life, old age and diseases and all that comes, and before death happens, how long? No, we don't know how long we will be here, right? So, at that time, you will feel very weak altogether. You won't have the strength to fight against that weakness, right? But if the jnanam inside, the knowledge inside, if you have succeeded in increasing it inside, then at the last minute you will escape from here. You won't feel the misery. Provided the knowledge is strong inside. That is the purpose. That is what Krishna is saying there. That and those who have done that, those who have become that jnana vriddhas in that way, and if you serve them in life, gradually that realization will come to you also. This is the purpose behind it. those who have that jnana vriddhi inside, if you serve them, then you will also develop the same understanding through them. So the same understanding through them. But nowadays, if there are people like that, we avoid them. We say, we don't have anything to do. You're too old to talk to. We have nothing to learn from you. You are not making any money. What's the point in talking to you? That's the way we look at it, isn't it? So that's why it's avoiding older people. And when they say something, not giving any attention to that, and always staying away from them, that you can see in the modern world a lot, is it not? We deliberately, young people particularly, they have a very serious problem, that they try to avoid the older generations, and especially if you don't know who has, people have all got different realizations in life, isn't it? So, and in order that if you want to take the benefit from their life in this world, vruddha seva, the service to them is necessary. That means those in whom this jnanam has developed strongly, service to them is beneficial. That's the important point. Service to them is beneficial. What is the benefit? Benefit is this. From deva maya, that illusion what comes, you can escape from that. That's what Krishna is saying here. Tva drisha deva maya. Deva maya. Deva maya is the one which controls us in one level, which makes us feel, oh, I am young, I can enjoy my life, I got money, I got my friends, I got my job, I got my so many things, whatever. And this is deva maya. Deva maya is making us feeling like that, isn't it? So, if you serve the older people, jnana vriddhas, the benefit is, this deva maya, you can escape from that. Maya is in this world in many forms, is it not? So, service to the jnana vriddha, what it helps is, you can free yourself from this deva maya. Deva maya makes you feel various things in this world. And if you do not have that, then you won't feel that enthusiasm to go for satsangam or to associate with advanced personalities, and you will never be able to escape from the maya. So, Krishna is asking Prithamaraj, that you have done a lot of vriddha seva, and if you are not able to escape from this maya, what you are feeling now, what is the use, you say. That's how Krishna puts it to Prithu, that you have done a lot of vriddha seva, and there is a lot of jnanam inside, but this is the testing time now, that Indra has offended you, and Indra has tried to disturb your life in such a way, he's trying to stop your sacrifices. But now he has come and apologized to you, and he wants you to forgive him. If you are not able to forgive him now, then Krishna says, in two different levels, you are doing a wrong thing. One, that you are identifying with the body. Only a person who identifies with the body will take offense. If you are not identifying with the body, there is no offense at all to anybody. Because offense is always based on the bodily level, bodily identification. So if you are not identifying with the body, then there is no offense. But the way if you act against Indra now, and if you start punishing him, reacting to his offense, what he has done, that means you have come to the bodily level, number one. Number two, all these years, you are such a great personality, you performed so much yajnam sacrifices, and you also had the great devotees instructed you, and you had the association with so many great personalities. And so satsangam you had with many, many people. That is vriddha sevaya. What is the use? That's what Krishna is asking there. So, purushaya dimukhyandi tvadrusha deva mayaya shamayeva param jado dirghaya vriddha sevaya. Dirghaya vriddha sevaya. And Because it is a kind of Maya, and you are not able to free yourself from that Maya, even though you're done. So, the thing is like this. For a long time, you sat in the Satsangam. And in spite of that, realization hasn't happened. No realization has happened. Or have not come out of Maya still. Have not come out of this Maya. And all that is Shramayeva Param Jadaha. Shramayeva Param Jadaha. That means you have struggled hard, but whatever that is spoken in the Bhagavadam, whatever we have heard from the Bhagavadam, if we have not used that in our life, then it was a waste of time. That's what Krishna is pointing at. So, when we study Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita also, in the same way, whatever we are discussing there, that should have some impact inside. And in our life in this world, if it is not coming to our own rescue, this is Tattvajnanam. Tattvajnanam is, once Tattvajnanam is good in a person, he will not feel any material miseries, because he knows why these miseries are there in life. Is it not? That is Tattvajnanam. Tattvajnanam is teaching us that it is actually training us to deal with this world. That the world, this is what world will offer to you. So when all things happen, if you are not able to live with that and accept it in that way, that means Tattvajnanam has not developed inside. So the purpose of Satsangam is to develop Tattvajnanam. Remember these two things, Tattvajnanam and Anusandhanam. Anusandhanam is a higher thing. Once you get some people, they get Anusandhanam first, and they get Tattvajnanam later, like the case of Govis. And there are many others like that. They get Anusandhanam first. Anusandhanam is the most difficult thing to get. But most of the people, they get Tattvajnanam first. But sometimes, even after getting Tattvajnanam, they may have to wait for a few lifetimes before they get Anusandhanam. So you can see the difference between Tattvajnanam and Anusandhanam. Anusandhanam is bhakti. That is on a higher level. Gopis had Anusandhanam. Therefore, Tattvajnanam only took about few minutes. Uddhava spoke a few verses. Krishna spoke a few verses. Tattvajnanam is over. Is finished with them. Because they had such a strong Anusandhanam inside. But Tattvajnanis, there are many in the Bhagavadam. But they had to wait a long time to get Anusandhanam inside. That lessons you can learn from the Bhagavadam. Keeping all these things inside our mind, we have to deal with this world. World will throw at you all kinds of things. Abuses, insults, praise, glorifications, everything will happen. But not to get trapped into all that requires Tattvajnanam. That's why Krishna is also saying here that you stayed in the Satsangam for a long period of time. You heard a lot of things from the Rishis. What we are hearing, you are hearing from the Rishis. Rishis are telling us about life. Is it not? After hearing all that, if you haven't used it in our life, it means Tattvajnanam hasn't happened. So, some people, they have listened to many Satsangam from many people. Only thing is, they got kept a record of all that, where all they went. But in effect, nothing has happened inside. The change that is required hasn't happened. Because by doing that, the right outlook in life has to build up within ourselves. We have to develop the right outlook. Because how am I progressing in that spiritual path, in the right direction? And the proper way to know that is through this experience of the Tattvajnanam in life. So, first time, there are certain interesting things here. When we hear Srimad Bhagavatam from different people, right? Different people. Initially, everybody will tell you so many different things from the Bhagavatam. And you may not know yourself what's your path. Isn't it? What is your path, you won't know. You are here, now we are hearing from Bhagavatam so many things. Whatever we are discussing here, you're hearing that. You may be hearing from others also Bhagavatam. There are many people who hear from different people. They hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And after some time, you will realize yourself that hearing from certain people is benefiting. Certain other people is not benefiting me. You will start realizing this within yourself. Those who are little sensitive will know it. Others will just sit there and go back. Kept the record, I wanted another one. That is why when you are hearing so many different people, after a certain period of time, you yourself will know by listening to whom is benefiting me. That does not mean the others are all wrong. Only thing is they are not benefiting you. That's all it is. It's not that others are all wrong. Do not take it in the wrong way. That you will realize one day, hearing from some people is benefiting me. Some others is not benefiting me. It's not benefiting me. That you can see. That's why sometimes you'll go and sit in somebody's Bhagavatam class, you'll put your hands, he goes on talking, all sorts of things. It's not attracting you. What can you do? It has no connection with your life in this world. You are suffering something else, and that person is talking about some other part of the world, creation, where something else. So, here, so, because you are not getting the right thing, what you need, you don't have to give attention to those people. That's how you make that decision, right? So, it is in this way that ultimately you have to find your own path in this way. You have to find your own path. If you see, there are many good speakers in the Srimad Bhagavatam, right? Many good speakers. But you will always find there will be a few people with one person, some other few people with somebody else. The reason for that is, this person is feeling some benefit from one person. The other people are feeling benefit from somebody else. Because of the different levels people are at, they will be attracted to in that way. So, after that, you have to find your own route, path, and you have to hold on to that. You have to hold on to that. That means you have to able to think that when you are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, whose Bhagavatam, who when he speaks, he is having the beneficial impact inside me, who is benefiting me in my own understanding of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That decision only the listener can make. And it is only then it is become a upasana. It becomes a upasana. And that becomes the further path in life. There are many people who have been hearing Bhagavatam, say, in their life for about 25 years. They have heard all sorts of people. All sorts of people. Srimad Bhagavatam. And some people will only accept those who are speaking Srimad Bhagavatam from the realization point of view, from the knowledge point of view. Only that they can accept. And there are people who can speak Bhagavatam in that level, purely based on the knowledge and the realization side of it. And then there are others who will come with all their instruments and music and entertainment, 7 days full of entertainment from morning to evening, and give you a lot of nice prasadam and send you home. That's also there in the Bhagavatam. There are people who are doing that. And for certain people that suits them. They come with the musicians and they'll have a big concert from beginning to end and a lot of singing, dancing, music, and they will entertain you nicely and they'll give you nice prasadam and send you home. So that is also there in the Srimad Bhagavatam speakers among them. It is like that. So, but you will see that after that, hearing them for 7 days, did I get anything out of it? Only thing is, I had a good time, singing, dancing, music, everything, isn't it? So, but somehow or the other, whatever it may be, at a certain stage, this clarity must come from within. What is my way? What is the way for myself? What benefits me? I should have that clarity within me. That is important. That one has to find oneself, right? Otherwise, the only thing is all the prasadam what you have taken. That's only profit from the satsanga, isn't it? So, he says here that shrama eva, that is that word. See that word? Shrama eva param jado dirghaya vruddha sevaya, he says. It's only shrama eva param. Only you have spent your time. Param jado dirghaya vruddha sevaya. Krishna is indicating to us that through satsangam, through vruddha seva, jnanam should develop in the heart and it should grow. It should not become stagnant. Growth means that after hearing a lot, you come to the conclusion that this and this person is beneficial, helping me in my spiritual development. And you also have to, within yourself, has to get that path very clear within oneself, right? So, suppose this has not happened and one's own path is not very clear to oneself, then still, if you are involved in that same illusion about this world, then Krishna is saying, shrama eva param. All that time what you spend is only a shrama eva hi kevalam, as he says in the first canto, isn't it? So, then, what does Krishna say? Adakkaya mimam vidya avidya kama karmadhi arabdhamidhi naivasmin pradibuddho anushajjade. Krishna is saying, arabdhamidhi, sorry, Atakkayamimam vidyuvan avidya kama karmabhi arabdhamidhi naivasmin pradibuddho anushajjade. The same what Kunti Devi says, avidya, kamam, karmam, three things, yeah. So, ajnanam, from ignorance, avidya, adhya is ajnanam. From ajnanam, kamam, desires come. And from desire, action will follow. Avidya, kamam, karmam. Three things. Ajnanam, kamam, karmam. So, vidvan, avidya, kamam, karma bhi. And it is due to that, because of that karmam, what it turns into? Prarabdham. See that word? Arabdham. Arabdham means prarabdham. So, why we have ended up in this situation where we are now? Because of this. From avidya started, ajnanam started, kamam, desires have come, and due to that desires we engage in the karmam, and karmam has created prarabdham for us. So, atakayam imam vidvan, and this body is called prarabdham. This body itself is called prarabdham. We got, this body is not something very cherishable, isn't it? It only gives trouble. Krishna has spoken about it many, many times in the Bhagavatam. What this body is worth. Is it not? That he said, in the Agadisham particularly he said, is it not? If you look on, it is nice to remember those words again and again, because when Krishna says there, you are thinking about this body, he says, but what this body is worth, he's saying, yeah. You see, verse 20, that 10th chapter I mentioned in the 11th canto, important chapter. There is a lot of very, very higher instructions in that. Basic instructions, important, 11, 10. And you will see there that Krishna is saying there, Uddhava, he says that you can start reading from the verse 15 onwards. Manyase sarvabhavanam samstha outpattiki yatha tatadagridibhena jayade vidyade chadi eva apyanga sarvesham dehinam dehayogada kala avayavadasandi bhava janmadayo asakril. Kala avayavadasandi bhava janmadayo asakrit. It says, any knowledge in this world will vary depending on the topic, Vishaya Bhedam. And you also know that all this knowledge what we have in this world is temporary. Nothing is permanent. Even though it is which we are not aware of, once you have that knowledge, but you get attached to it, attachment. കാല അവയവദ സന്ധി ഭാവ ജന്മാദയോ അസകൃത് ദെൻ ഹി സേസ് അത്ര ആൻഡ് ഈവൺ ഇഫ് യു റെക്കഗ്നൈസ് ദാറ്റ് ഈവൺ ഇഫ് യു റെക്കഗ്നൈസ് ദാറ്റ് വിത്ത് യുവർ ഇന്റലിജൻസ് ബിക്കോസ് യു ഹാവ് കണക്ടഡ് വിത്ത് ദ ബോഡി ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ലൈക്ക് ബർത്ത് ആൻഡ് ഡെത്ത് കീപ്സ് കമ്മിങ് അഗെയിൻ ആൻഡ് അഗെയിൻ ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ഹി സേസ് ദാറ്റ് ഫസ്റ്റ് തിങ് ന ദേഹീനാം സുഖം ദുഃഖം സോറി അർത്ഥാപി അത്രാപി കർമ്മണം കർത്തു അസ്വാതന്ത്ര്യം ച ലക്ഷ്യത്തെ ഭോക്തുക്ഷ ദുഃഖ സുഖയോ കോ അന്വർത്ഥോ വിവശം ഭജേത് ഹി സേയിങ് ദാറ്റ് ഈവൺ ഇൻ ദിസ് ലൈഫ് വി എൻഗേജ് ഇൻ കർമ്മം വിച്ച് യു ലൈക്ക് ആൻഡ് വിച്ച് യു ഡോണ്ട് ലൈക്ക് ആൻഡ് ഓൾ കൈൻഡ്സ് ഓഫ് കർമ്മം വി ആർ ഡൂയിങ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ആൻഡ് വി ആർ ദ ഡൂവേഴ്സ് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് And the result of that is happiness and distress is coming due to the karmam. Karmam, happiness and distress is coming. And that jiva can see that he doesn't have much freedom in all these things. Right? What freedom have we got to make anything, to make a decision? Often you will see as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also that the modes of nature which are very strong in us will act in a particular way and then we are forced to act whether we like it or not. Is it not? That prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. That ahankaram and the prakriti together, they are doing the job. Ahankaram is inside. Everybody has that. And that ahankaram, when it is influenced by the prakriti, the three modes of material nature, depending on sattugunam, rajogunam and tamogunam, kartaham iti manyade. Immediately we think, I am the doer. It comes there. That's exactly Krishna is saying here. For a jiva who is living in this world and engaged in karmam, from which happiness and distress is coming, and he is seeing all these things every day, what is happening in his life, but he has no freedom to come out of it. This is our situation. He has no freedom to come out of it. All the time we keep asking the same question, how do I get out of this? We can't get out. This is what Krishna is saying here. And somebody is not free from these things, no matter what happens in this life, how can he be happy? That's Krishna's question. How can he be happy when you are so much under control of prakriti, as well as the ahankaram inside. Na dehinam sukham kinchil vidyate vidusham api tatha cha dukham moodhanam vrutha ahankaranam param. He says that even people who have got this knowledge, they don't get happiness in this world. Why? And similarly, sometimes you notice this. People who are in knowledge, they know all these things, but they are not getting happiness. And some others who have no knowledge, they are happy in this world. And that's what makes it more interesting. You're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, but you are getting a lot of distress in life because although you understand all these things, still distress is coming. But others who are not interested in the Bhagavatam, they are just working, earning and living a good life in this world. And they seem to be happy in here. Why is this? Krishna is explaining that. Yatna dehinam sukham dukham. കിഞ്ചിത് വിദ്യതെ വിദുഷാമഭി തഥാ ച ദുഃഖം മൂഢാനാം വൃഥാ അഹങ്കരണം പരം. ദ അഹങ്കാരം ഇൻസൈഡ് ഈസ് ഹാപ്പി ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് പേഴ്സൺ. ദ അഹങ്കാരം ഈസ് ഹാപ്പി, ദെർഫോർ ഹി ലുക്സ് ഹാപ്പി. ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ. സോ ഓൾ ദിസ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് പോയിന്റിംഗ് അറ്റ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് അഹങ്കാരം ഈസ് ദ വൺ തിങ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഡിസൈഡിംഗ് യുവർ ഹാപ്പിനെസ് ആൻഡ് ഡിസ്ട്രെസ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. ഇറ്റ്സ് യുവർ അഹങ്കാരം ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഡിസൈഡിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് വെദർ യു ആർ ഹാപ്പി ഓർ അൺഹാപ്പി ഇൻസൈഡ്. Right. So then he says, Yadi praptim vighatam cha janandi sukha dukkhayoho te pyadhana vidur yogam mrityurna prabhavedyatha. So even if you know how to acquire happiness in this world, and even if you know how to come out of distress in this world, still they do not know how to escape from death. How to escape from death. They may be experts in solving some problems of this world, come out of how to generally Krishna is pointing out in the karmis. He's saying the karmis means those who are working and trying to become happy in this world. He's saying there that even if you know the method how to become happy here, and if you know the method how not to become miserable here, even though you can accept that, that they know how to do that, but still they don't know how to face the death. That is the question. And then he says, Ko anyuartha sukhayatyenam kamo va mrtyurandike aghadam niyamanasya vadyasye vanatushtida. He says, how can anybody be happy here? Just like aghadam niyamanasya vadyasye vanatushtida. A man has been, a judgment has been given, somebody to be hung. He's going to be hung in the morning. And you are telling him tonight, tomorrow morning he's going to be hung. They're going to hang him. But this evening you are asking him that do you have any desire in life to fulfill? Apparently that's what they do. If you want a nice meal, you can tell them whatever you want to have a good meal before you get hung. Will he be interested? That's what Krishna is asking. This is our position in this world. We are going to be hung one day. Is it not? It's going to come one day, sooner or later. So Krishna is saying, what are you making plans here for? That's Krishna's question. Aghadam niyamanase vadyasya evana tushtida. You know that Uddhava asked this question to Krishna. Shokharajavad, isn't it? Like the dogs and the asses. They are trying to enjoy this life. What happiness can they have, Krishna, he said. Uddhava says. Krishna says, exactly saying, Aghadam niyamanase vadyasya evana tushtida. Already the judgment has been made that you are going to be hung and thrown away from here. And you are making plans still to find some happiness in this world. Shutamja drishtavadrishtam sparda asuyate avyaye bhakundravaya kamatwal krishivachavi nishpalam. That even if you think that there is happiness in other worlds after leaving this world, there also all these problems are there. Envy, mutual competition, and that is also useless, he says there. And in this way, you can read that whole chapter, 10th chapter, every verse is very worthwhile talking about. So, let's go back to this. Prudhumaraj says to him, Krishna says to Prudhumaraj, that this ajnanam, avidya kama karma bhi, avidya kama karma bhi, that means ajnanam, and then due to that ignorance, desires comes. And from that desires, karmam will come. And from that karmam, and it is for this purpose the body was created. For this avidya kama karma bhi. For performing karmam, body was created. Where did the karmam come from? Kamam. Where did the kamam come from? Avidya. So, due to ajnanam or avidya, and due to that prarabdham, due to that, jiva has got a body. Jiva has got a body. So, after getting this body, if we again continue in the karmam, in the same way like before, all that it will do, is it will increase the avidya inside. It will increase the avidya inside. And instead of bringing that avidya down, and in the vidya inside, the knowledge inside should start functioning in that. Otherwise, it's no benefit at all. That means avidya should go away and vidya should manifest more in our life in this world. Otherwise, all these things are useless. He says there, asmin, adakayamam vidvan avidya kama karma bhi arabdhamidi naiva asmin pradibuddho anushajjade. And one who has come to that understanding, that means this body is a prarabdha shariram. Prarabdham is this body. It has come from avidya kamam karmam. So because this body is born from avidya kamam karmam, this cannot be a good thing. This body can't be a good thing because it's born from three unwanted things. Avidya, kamam, karmam. Avidya caused the kamam, kamam caused the karmam, and karmam caused the body. So the cause behind this body is avidya, kamam, karma. And all three of them are not good. Bad things. Avidyam bad, kamam bad, karmam bad. From all these three, this body was born. Krishna's point is, Krishna is saying here, that once that is born from, and if this body is again busy with karmam after this, then what it will do? It will increase that avidya again. Avidya will increase in a person. So, the goal should be to bring that avidya down and allow the vidya inside, vidya maya inside to develop. Otherwise, this is all a waste of time. Asmin pradibuddhosmi asmin pradibuddho anushajjade. Arabdham iti naivasmin pradibuddho anushajjade. So, one who is thinking, I am this body, again and again all the time, no matter how much shastram he has studied and how much knowledge he has acquired, but if he is still thinking he is this body, he is unable to come out of that ignorance in him. That means it is called jnana nidra. Jnana nidra means Ajnanidra means that a kind of state where we are in that ignorance. We are studying Shastram, we are studying acquiring knowledge from the Shastram, Salsangam, everything, but again I am thinking I am this body. Such a person, what's the use, Krishna says, because he is not able to go further. It's all about us, this whole thing. It's about us. That we are hearing everything, because you can see, when our identification with the body is very strong, no matter how much you have heard from Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, and from all the rishis, still we get affected, is it not? And we react to situation in that way. Why is that? Because that ajnanam inside is so deep rooted. And Krishna is saying here, this person who has engaged in the karma in such a way, and at the same time took whatever he heard from the satsangam seriously, he will gradually come out of this ajnanam. Gradually, he will come out of it. So these things has to happen together. On the one side, karmam should be corrected properly. Very important thing. And that karmam, if it is executed with proper understanding, that means kartrutva bhoktrutva. Without that, karmam is done. And that means the right way of doing karmam is that. Without kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. At the same time, by hearing from Salsangam that we have no connection with the body, we have no relationship with this body, properly hearing these two things simultaneously happens in a person, such a person, he will get released from this ignorance, which is called primeval ignorance, Mula Avidya. Mula Avidya means to always think I am this body and to act in that way in this world. Such a person will gradually come out of that state. And he will get that clarity inside, within himself. And very soon, gradually, he will also lose his attachment to all other things in this world related to this body. And he will not stick to it anymore. Krishna is saying that gradually, that process, how it happens in a person. On the one hand, Karmam has to be clear. Karmam should not put us into awkward situation. It should not develop fresh vasanas and fresh bondage within us. So karmam is gradually come out of that on one side. On the other side, whatever that Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, that knowledge what you have got from the satsangam is applied in life. If it is done like that, Krishna is saying, Granj asamsakta sharirasmin ulpado ulpa unulpadide grihe apatye drevine vabi ka kuryan mamadam buddha. He says, how he will be able to continue his attachment to the body and to other extensions in the bodily life, bodily extensions in the life. Many people have this difficulty. They will hear, but then unable to break the connection with the attachment to others, isn't it? And that attachment will come back in some form. Particularly, you can see in family life, as you get older, and when you know that we all have to go in our own way, still trying to hold on to this attachment and trying to think that, oh, he is related to me, I am this, I am that, and feeling that connection still strongly inside is not a good sign. It's not a good sign. Because that is this avidya Krishna is talking about. That he has not learned yet the lesson, what he has to learn. That it so happened that due to some prarabdham, some people have to take birth together in one family. But that relationship is not eternal. Only the prarabdham has kept them together. But if the proper understanding inside is there, otherwise old age can be hell. There could be always fighting each other and all sorts of problems can develop among the older family members. This will develop in that way. At that time, that is what Krishna is pointing out here, that asamsakta sharirasmin ulpa shariasmin amanon padide grihe apatye drivane vabi ka kuryan mamatam buddha. That mamata has not gone from inside. So rather than waiting for a fight to happen later, it is better to settle the accounts early and pull out of it, so that you can live peacefully for the rest of the life. Otherwise, if you continue with this relationship forever, till the last minute, thinking that they will come and save you at the time of death, nobody can save you at the time of death. What's going to happen will happen. And there is no escape route. To thinking that family and friends are going to be there to relieve you from that problem, that's only a misunderstanding. Krishna's point is that. Therefore, he says here, apatye drivane vabi ka kuryan mamadam buddha. Intelligent person will not go in that direction to feel shelter in all those things. With them, if you had a prarabdham relationship with them, you should try to finish that prarabdham, not to delay too long and extend it further. So therefore, earlier we break up with that relationship, it's all the more better, rather than continue with it forever and suffer from that later. Eventually, it's all going to end up in serious trouble at the end. Nowhere you will find it ends in a nice way. It always ends up in a disagreement, right? So, after saying this, Krishna says to Prithu Maharaj about the soul, exactly like the way Prahlada has spoken. You can see that. The next, ekaha, there is not many souls, there's only one. First word itself is ekaha. There is not many. Ekaha, soul is one. Shuddhaha, pure. Swayam jodi, self-illuminating in the sense that it's pure consciousness, awareness all the time. So you will see in Bhagavatam, everywhere there is an opportunity, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi will talk about the soul. He doesn't want to talk about this body. Body, there is enough books written to discuss about the body. There's nothing much to discuss about the body anymore, isn't it? So all these doctors and hospitals and everything, they're busy with the body, isn't it? So they let them do their job. But Krishna is saying, Shuka Brahmarshi has only one thing to tell us. All the time you will notice this. Soul, soul, soul. Alma, alma, alma. Nothing else, alma. So that is what he is coming back here to that point. He is saying here that. So, In the sixth verse, he says that one who has come to this understanding, there is a few more things there, one who has come to this understanding that these relationships on a bodily level with others also is only a very temporary thing. It is not a reality. And that means asamsakti. Asamsakti means that sakti has gone. Attachment has gone with others from bodily level. And everything else, that means through this body only you are connecting with them, with others, isn't it? Wife, children, wealth. How can he keep his attachment to all these things? Krishna is asking. See that? Says, Abhatye drivane vabi asamsakta sharir asmin nabude amunol padide grihe Apatye drivane vabi kakuryan mamatam buddha. Kakuryan mamatam buddha. These are all the symptoms of Jnanavruddha. Jnanavruddha means all this. That the attachment to the body has gone. When attachment to the body has gone, all other extensions that has come through this body, like wife, children, parents, all that attachment also has to go. Has to go. And Krishna is asking that question. One who has properly got detached with his own body, how can he keep his connection with all the others who have come to him through this body? That is his question. Is that not logical? That if I lost my attachment to this body, how could I feel attached to everybody else who have come to connected with me through this body? So that's what he's saying. Asamsakta sharirasmin namunolpadide grihe abhatye drivane vabi kakuryan mamatam buddha. Mamatam buddha. That is up to this all about vairagyam, Krishna said. And then now he's talking about the soul, which we'll talk about a few minutes later.
Cheto darpanam arjanam mahadavadanuvalanam Sheyatayitava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam Anandam gulivardhanam mridipada purnam mridaswadhanam Sarvatma savanam param vijayade shri krishna sangeutanam Nādhāmadāri bahudā nija sarva shakti tatrāpidā niyamitā smaranena kāla edā drishītava krupā bhagavan mamāpi durdeiva midrisham ihā janina nurāgāha trinārabhi shunichena tarorabhi sahishuna amānina mānadena skirtaniya sadāhari nathanam najanam nasundarim Kavidam Vajagadisha Kamae Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadar Bhakti Rahai Tuyitvai Ayedam Dadanu Jagingaram Patitam Amishame Bhavam Budav Kripayadav Pada Panka Jasti Raduli Sadrasham Vichindaya Mayanam Gala Shudharaya Vadanam Gadgala Yudhaya Gira Kuladayam nijdam tadavabhu tavam namagrahane bhavishyati Yugaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam Shunyayidam jagasarvam govindavyate name Ashrishyava padaradam pinashtuma adarshanama mahadam karotuva Yadadadava vidadadulam vado alpranamathastu naevanapara Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam
Govinda
Govinda Govinda.
Asamsakta sharirasmin ulpa amun asamsakta sharirasmin an umunodpadide grihe apatye drivane vabi ka kuryan mamadham buddha. Krishna's point is that this person who has broken his connection with the body, such a person, how he will maintain attachment with the bodily extensions which has come through this body, like the wife, the children, the wealth and everything. He gives the example that you are seeing in dream state, you have built a house. Many things you are seeing in the dream state. You have built a house and you are living there with wife, children, all together happily. But as soon as you have woken up at that time, you start realizing that it was only a dream, and therefore the house you have lost in the dream state, you are not lamenting about it, isn't it? You don't lament about the house, what is gone, what you have lost when you have woken up into the waking state. Similarly, one person who has come to realize that he is not this body, he will never be able to think about those things which are connected with this body anymore when he realizes that he is not the body. When he realizes he is not the body, at that point, all these connections with the bodily extensions and bodily attachment to other things, everything will disappear. Exactly like in the dream state, what you had, a house, wife, children and all that. As soon as you wake up, all that connection is broken. You are not lamenting about that. In the same way, when we realize that we are not this body, when that happens, at that time, one who has come to that understand awareness, then never he will be again able to go back to those things which he has been attached to while he was attached to the body. So, Krishna is saying to Prithu this time that Prithu's Ashwamedha Yagam continued and the 100th one was stopped by Indra. And Indra has stopped that. That is the problem, isn't it? Indra has done. So, you are thinking that I am Prithu, I am the king, I am performing the sacrifices. And therefore, try to realize that that is also a dream. Like in the dream state, what has happened? Because although it is happening in the vacant state, Krishna's point is even this vacant state is also very much similar to a dream state. Once we have woken up to the reality of the self, who we are, identifying with our real identity of the self, at that point, even anything related to this body and bodily extensions also become invalid. It has also no validity. So, here, so in Vyavaharam, because this Yajnam is also happening in Vyavaharam, it is. So, the problems that's coming in this Vyavaharam, also a personality like you should not take it seriously, says Krishna. Krishna says to Prithu. Because ordinary people will do that. They will take everything very seriously in the Vyavaharam, what happens there. But you are myself has come. You are my incarnations, isn't it, Prithu? And you have come here for a certain purpose. And you have to execute that responsibility, what you have been come for. And after that you should leave this place. And if you start taking this all very seriously, then there will be problems. And this is what a personality like you should think about. Krishna says to Prithu. Then the 10 symptoms of the soul is spoken. After that, Eka Shuddha Swayam Jyoti Nirguno Asau Gunashraya Sarvago Anavrita Sakshi Niralma Alma Atmanapara. He says, isn't it? So, this soul is different from the body, first thing, right? And it is Ekam, Shuddham, Nirgunam, then Gunashrayam, Sarvagam, Anavadam, Sakshi, Niratma. What are they? What does that mean? It means that the 10 symptoms of the soul is spoken there. There is a book Acharya Swami wrote called Atma Analtma Vivegam, very explicitly talking about soul, self and the non-self. Soul and so there he'll saying like this, and in these this Atma Analtma Vivegam, Atma Analtma, Atma Analtma, in the, like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, is it not? that the Atma and Alma, that separation is necessary in the beginning, very clearly. So he's saying here that in two ways it has to be thought about. First of all, the nature of the Atma, and then the nature of the body. Exactly like the way Prahlada does that in his in the Bhagavatam. Ekaha, Atma is one. There is not many Atma. Whereas body is not Ekaha, many. Body is many, Atma is one. You can see, body, say for example when you are born, maybe you were weighing 2 kilos. And now you are 75 kilos or 80 kilos, whatever it may be. And plus the body has got all the growth on it, the hair, the teeth, and and all other things are changes in the body, isn't it? So the body that was there at the time of birth, that's not there anymore. That body has gone. And this is another body, what we have got now. And this is happening even without our knowledge. Without our knowledge, these changes are happening inside the body. And as the scientists are saying, that the cells are developing, some cell is dying out and new cells are coming. So this process is going on continuously. This is what body means. Something that is constantly changing and which is always not known to us. This change is not known to us. We are not experiencing it, is it not? We know that it is changing. Every 7 years they say all the body, whole body has completely changed, is it not? So, and 7 years before, all the cells what was in the body does not exist anymore. They have all gone. So, every single day, new things are happening in this body and the old ones are dying. See, for example, now if you are 70 years old, 10 times you have changed this body already. You have already changed this body 10 times here. So, body is continuously changing. That is one of the features of the body. The body and the soul, no change. Ekaha. Ekaha. It is one and it has no change. So that's the fundamental difference between the body and the soul. Soul is never changes. Soul is soul. It always remains as it is. But body is continuously changing. And no change at all in the soul, because when you talk about soul, you have to think like this. Soul is always present inside. The symptom of that is awareness inside. I am, I am, I am. That aham, aham. That awareness inside, that has not changed. While we are born, the same awareness, it's there now. And even while leaving the body, awareness doesn't go away. It will go along with us. Then the second one, Shuddha. See, say, Ekaha, then Shuddha. You say, Shuddha. Shuddha means, this body is not Shuddham. It's not pure, is it? Atma Nitya Shuddham. Always pure. That's another difference. Fundamental differences between body and the soul. This body is not pure. We don't have any doubt about that. Is it not? Everybody will agree with that, the nature of this body. And you may say that I bathe 3 times a day, I'm very pure. You will say I'm a Brahmin. I've taken 3 times a day bath. Now I'm very pure. But what it is teaching us is that no matter how hard you try to purify this body, it will never get pure. Because it's made of such elements, this body is made up of. So the very fundamental difference itself is that body is never pure. Body is never pure. And all the things what is inside this body, if you start analyzing the urine, the stool, the blood, the sweat, the all mucus and all other things, they are all still there. You have bathed 3 times, but they are all still there, isn't it? They are all still there. So, so you have to remember, even the head pujari who has bathed 3 times, he carrying all these things inside, he is still doing the deity worship in the temple. That's how pure it is, this body. How pure this body is. So, and will this body will get pure any day in life? It will never get pure. That's the way it is constructed. It is created in that way. So none of our bodies is going to get pure. On the other hand, Atma, take Atma, that whatever happens in this body, even if you lose this body, still it doesn't affect Atma. It's so pure. It's so pure, no matter what happens in this body, it doesn't have any impact on the self, on the self. So that difference between the first thing is ekaha, second thing is shuddha, shuddha. This is how we see with the body and the soul. Then the third one he says there, swayam jyoti, swayam jyoti. Swayam jyoti means Atma, the self, doesn't require any ubhadi. Ubhadi is not there. That means it can exist without anything. Plus, its existence is known to us in the form of awareness. Another ubhadi is not required. Another ubhadi is not required. Whereas, as far as the body is concerned, if body has to do anything, Atma is required. Atma can exist on its own without the body. But body cannot do anything or function in this world without the presence of Atma. That is what that Swayam Jyotihi means. Swayam Jyotihi. It is independent, completely independent. It can live on its own, function its own. But without the help of Atma, body cannot. What is body then? If one, that's why we say when somebody is dead, soul has left the body, then we straight away take it and burn it. What else it's worthwhile? And it, all the elements goes back to its elements. Is it not? So from there itself you can understand that because it has no eternity in the body, to think that the body is our identity itself is very foolish. Very foolish. So this is the... In order that the body has to do anything, it requires the presence of the soul, presence of the soul. But for Atma to exist, it doesn't require a body. It doesn't require a body. Why? Atma is Swayam Jyoti. Swayam Jyoti. Whereas body is not. Body is not. So all the differences, if you observe carefully, exactly the way Prahlada has spoken there, also in the seventh canto, the same thing, Krishna is repeating this, that they're hammering this again and again into our head. Why? Because otherwise that ajnanam inside won't go. It will. That's why as soon as the class is over, we'll go back to our usual thinking about this body. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. So all what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavadam or Prahlada has spoken in the Bhagavadam had no impact on us. And that's no good, isn't it? So that's what he's saying. Then next one, Nirgunaha. See, Ekaha, Shuddaha, Swayam Jyotihi, Nirgunaha. Nirgunaha means Atma is Nirgunam. Three modes of material nature is not present in the soul. Three modes of material nature is not. But because of ignorance, we impose modes of nature on the self. Actually, three modes of material nature is not present in the soul. Nirgunam it is. Right? Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, that is Atma. So there, Trigunam has no effect, but we impose them out of our, because of our ignorance, but then we say Atma is connected with the three modes of material nature, and when it is in contact with the three modes of material nature, that is when we call it as Jiva. When the Atma is in contact with the three modes of material nature, that is when we call that as Jiva. Jiva. Actually, when we are thinking that we are Jiva, we are always thinking we are Jiva, and when we are thinking, oh, because I am a Jiva, I am in ignorance, right? And even at that time, the Atma is still pure. Even when I am thinking I am this Jiva, and because I am Jiva, I have got all the other issues, problems, modes of nature, and my vasanas, my prarabdham, all these things are in me. At that time also, Atma is still pure. Atma is still pure. So, and he is still free from contact with the three modes of material nature. Even at that time, Atma is still not in contact with the three modes of material nature. That's why he says Nirgunam. So, whereas the body, think about the body, what happens? Body is called Trigunalmiya. Trigunalmiya. That means, Trigunalmiya means, material modes of nature is these three modes. Prakriti is three modes, isn't it? Satugunam, Rajogunam, Tramogunam. So, when the three modes are present, Prakriti is called Trigunalmiya. Trigunalmiya, it is body is staying inside this Trigunam. Inside this Trigunam. It remains in this world, in these three modes of nature. And eventually, it gets dissolved in the Prakriti. It has come from Prakriti, it remains in the Prakriti, it goes back into Prakriti again. And never, never, body is out of Prakriti. Another important thing. Body is never out of Prakriti. Body is never out of the three modes of material nature. Therefore, Krishna is saying, body and the soul are two different things. Body and the soul are different things. Krishna will differentiate everything. Like everybody in Vedantam, it is always like this. First you will separate everything, then eventually you will say, Brahman is, body also is a, come from Brahman, and therefore that's also Brahman. That's how that oneness comes at the end. Oneness comes at the end. Then the next one, Gunashrayaha. He says, Ekaha, Shuddaha, Swayam Jyoti, Nirguno, Asau, Gunashraya. Gunashraya means, that Atma means, all qualities, all the gunam, three modes of material nature, is dependent on the soul. Dependent on the soul. Because it's come from there, isn't it? And whereas, that means modes of nature is dependent on the soul, whereas body is dependent on the modes of nature. Another important thing. Modes of nature is dependent on Atma. If Atma is not there, modes of nature also not there. But modes of nature is dependent on the soul, Atma. Whereas body is dependent on the modes of nature. Body is dependent on the nature, the modes of nature. So, for example, suppose this body wants something, some energy. You're feeling very tired. Say you're feeling very tired and you want to become a little bit energetic. You want some strength. At that time, it will accept some objects from the world in the tamogunam and you will get some energy from that. You'll get some energy from that. So, some people needs tamoguna, tamasic objects. Some people accepts rajasic things. And some other people, do you understand what that means? Says, say person, when he is feeling down, he will accept tamasic food, means alcohol, meat, things like that. And when he gets energy from that tamasic things, some other people, they will accept rajasic food, like, which are, some people you see, they eat a lot of chilies, very, very hot food, things like that. From that rajasic qualities, they will get their energy. Energy means this inspiration to work or to do things like that, right? And some other people, they will accept sattvic food and get that energy from that. Get that energy from that. So, when the body wants something, it is dependent on the modes of nature. All the food is categorized into these three modes, right? So, whichever modes of food he accepts, he gets strength from that. Either from the tamasic side, or from the rajasic side, or from the sattvic type of food, isn't it? So, So, all the time, you can see, certain places when you go, immediately you will feel uncomfortable. A lot of tamasic activities are going on. You just don't want to be there, isn't it? Similarly, certain places, there's a lot of rajasic activities are going there. You don't want to be there. Similarly, when there is sattvic activities are going on there, you feel comfortable. That depends on the person, his modes of nature. Some people love tamasic environment. You can see that also. They will wander around in those kind of areas very freely. They enjoy that. They get a certain kind of happiness from that. Tamasic environment. And certain other people, they wander around places where there is a lot of rajasic activities. Football will keep them going, isn't it, in their life? Similarly, other things also. Very excitement, thrill. And a lot of you feeling very enlivened by that, isn't it? So that kind of rajasic nature in people. Like you can see even in the temple festivals, when there is a lot of firecrackers and elephants and a lot of drum beating and all kinds of noise and sound and making people, everyone very rajasic nature, they enjoy that. They'll go there and spend time there. You may call it festival, but it turns out to be something else at the end. So it's disaster sometimes, the way it happens. But that kind of people who are in the tamogunam, they have only one way to come out. Eventually they have to come to rajogunam before they come to sattogunam. So you can see there's a long way to travel for those people who are in that state. You tell them, give them Srimad Bhagavatam, they won't listen. They won't be able to sit and listen to Bhagavatam. Why? Because this tamogunam is so deeply inside, right? So, so accordingly, they will go to the correct, proper places, whatever that inspires them, or they'll eat the food what inspires them, or they will acquire those objects what will give them that inspiration. So, everything you can see in the body, in the mind, and the intelligence, its existence, its function, its growth, its death, everything is depending very closely with the three modes of material nature. Is it not? The growth of this body, the existence of this body, and the mind, the intelligence, the senses, all of it is very much closely connected with the three modes, right? So it's, and it cannot exist without the three modes. Cannot exist without the three modes, isn't it? So, even our mind and intelligence is so dependent on the modes of nature. Mind is dependent on the modes of nature. But Atma, think about Atma, Brahmam, in other words, Avabhodham, or pure consciousness, awareness. It is due to the presence of that, these three modes of material nature is existing. That's a big difference, is it not? That because Atma is there, Brahmam is there, Atma is Brahmam, awareness, jnapti, whatever way you address that word, vastu, Brahmam, it is due to the preexistence of the Brahmam, awareness, that Trigunam or three modes of material nature also is existing. Otherwise they can't exist. It is from them, Brahmam, that Trigunam has come. Trigunam has come. So, so, if awareness is not there, avabhodam or awareness is not there, Trigunam is not there. This Trigunam is a very interesting concept. You can't see it, but it is there. You see? Therefore, it is addressed as Maya. Why it is called Maya is another word used for that. So, suppose the living force, Atma, has left this body, then if this body gets the three modes of material nature, it's not going to make any difference, isn't it? There won't be any difference. Only when the Atma is present inside, the three modes of material nature has an influence on this body. Right? All these things should be analyzed and taken inside, seriously. So, suppose a person has, the soul has left the body, then you give him a nice feast to that body. Does it make any difference? Is it not? So, once a living force has left this body, then, you know, there are certain people, communities, they put rice into the mouth after the death. You can't see more ignorance than that. Is there? There are people who do that. They give, put rice into the, feed the rice into the mouth. They still think, they have not got a clue what they are doing. They're like that, isn't it? So there is no benefit, only the waste of rice. That's all. So while living, it needs the rice. But after that, it doesn't need the rice anymore. So body does not require that. Why? Because living force, once it has left, then the body doesn't need any of these things. So because rice, all the food what we eat is under the modes of nature. It is also under the modes of nature. So body needs the modes of nature to survive. Body needs the modes of nature to survive here. But body can only exist in the presence of the soul. Similarly, three modes of nature can only exist in the presence of the soul. In the presence of the soul. Then everything, so whole thing is dependent on the soul. Modes of nature is dependent on the soul. Body is also dependent on the soul. The next one, Krishna is saying, sarvaga. So, ekaha, shuddaha, swayam jyoti, nirgunam, gunashraya, then sarvaga. The next one is sarvaga. Sarvaga means, Atma is present everywhere. Is present everywhere. Remember we discussed yesterday, Krishna is Atma. So where will he move? He is present everywhere. Where can he move? Therefore, we said that he moves because of the kalam. Kalam is his movement. Movement of Krishna means movement of time. That's how you understand that. The movement of time. So sarvaga, Atma is present everywhere, whereas body is present here now in this place. It has to move from here to another place. Whereas Atma doesn't have to move anywhere. There is no movement in the Atma. So, body was like that. It was somewhere else before. It has come here now. And after some time, it will go from here to go to some other place, isn't it? So, when you say body is here, it's only here. It's not anywhere else. Whereas, it cannot be in another place. It can be only in one place. It can't be in another place. Atma is not like that. All the time, all places, and all the time, all places, Atma is present. One was two, that means in all places, all times, in all places, in all time, it is present. Therefore, Atma and the body is different. Is different. Whereas body is only present here now. If it has to go to another place and stay in another place another time. It can't be present in two places same time. It can only be present in one place at one time. Another place in another time. Whereas Atma is present here now, present there also. Now and in future also. It is always present. That is what we call the eternity. That is what is called that sarvaga. Sarvaga. Sarvaga means that. You will see this in the second chapter also in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna talks about that. Sarvaga. Then, a next one. Next one is anavrata. Anavrata. Anavrata means shariram or body is avratam. Avrata means that that body you can make it disappear from one place. It goes away, it disappears there. For example, if I'm sitting here, there's a wall. On the other side, if someone is sitting there in the other room, I can't see him. Is it not? The wall is able to cover that person from my vision. From my vision. So, but Atma is Satya Chitta Anandam. Sachidanandam it is. Is it not? So, under no situation you can cover Atma, because it's present everywhere. Under no situation, and you will never be able to cover it, and that means avaranam, or you are not able to draw anything in between and break it, and that is what is called anavratam. Anavratam. So, all time it is in experienced. It's experienced. Atma is like that. This Atma is a very difficult thing for us to come to terms with, is it not? Because of its special nature. And that is why when people, when we say that 1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair, our mind will start thinking, oh, it's very small, isn't it? Suppose we had a machine or measuring instrument to measure that size, because it's so precise and small. We will think like that, but Bhagavad Gita will tell us that one who is present everywhere, how can you can't limit it. It is unlimited, isn't it? Brahat. That's why it's called Brahman. It's Brahat it is. No way of making it small, making it big. It's always big. The bigger than the biggest, as they say in the Kathopanishad. So, then the next one is Sakshi. Sakshi means Atma is witness to everything what is going on here. Everything what is going on. But body, what about the body? Body is not witness. Body is not the seer. Body is what is seen. Body is not a witness to anything. Actually, the one who is actually seeing everything is Atma. It is due to Atma's presence that we are experiencing different existence of various objects in this world. Otherwise not. So, just like if you close your eyes, at that time, you are not able to see anything. Similarly, as soon as your mind is gone off, say the mind is closed down, like in the deep sleep, at that time, body doesn't exist. Is it not? When you go into deep sleep, body doesn't exist at that time. From this you can, whereas Atma does exist. Atma does exist. So that is why that Sakshi thing. Atma is a Sakshi, always. Waking state, dream state, and the deep sleep. All the three states, Atma is a Sakshi. But body, you can see, even though you are seeing in the waking state, and even though in the dream state, you are partially aware of that, the existence of the body, partially. In the deep sleep, you completely forget that the body is existing. The whole very existence of the body is gone in the deep sleep state. So at that time, therefore they are saying there, in the deep sleep state, in experience level, body is not there. Therefore, body is drishyam. It's not drika. Whereas Atma is a Sakshi. Atma is a Sakshi all the time. Waking state, dream state, and the deep sleep. Even when you come out of the deep sleep, who has actually experienced that? You have experienced that experience of the soul from the deep sleep state. Is it not? So, therefore, these two things are different. Every single item, what Krishna has spoken there, you can see Ekaha, Shuddha, Swayamjyoti, Nirgunam, Gunashrayam, Sarvaga, Anavratam, Sakshi. All of them you can see the difference between the body and the soul. Between the body and soul. If you study all these things and then go back to what Prahlada had to say about the Atma, you will see a lot of things common. The same thing that's what's spoken there. So, then, next one, that Niralma. Niralma. Niralma means that in order that the Atma to exist, it doesn't require any help from anybody for existence. Because there's only one Atma. There's not many. That means this Atma is always on its own. Atma, always on its own. And it can exist without the help of anything else. And therefore, it is called Swarad. Remember that word? First word. First verse itself. Janmadhya says, Onvayani daradhas chate shabhitnya swarad. Swarad means this. This capacity of the soul. Then it can exist on its own. It doesn't need any of the other things. and therefore, so it so that and so if you read that verse, Janmadhya Sedaha, that Janmadhya Sedaha shows that independent nature of the soul, Surad, isn't it? So therefore, Atma is Niralma. Niralma means that, that independence, what it has got. What about the body? In order that the body to exist, Atma is necessary. Otherwise, body won't exist. Once Atma leaves the body, then body cannot exist on its own. It's finished, isn't it? That's why we burn it straight away. We don't keep it very long. So, there itself you can see that Atma is necessary. And once the Atma has gone, then if you want to keep it for some time, you can put it in the fridge or something and keep it for a while. But afterwards, you have to burn that. So, if you keep it in very cold condition, it will stay for a few more days. Otherwise, it won't stay. It will start stinking. And body is not anymore interesting. So, then what happens? The smell of the earth will start coming from there, from that body. Before that, you have to burn the body. So, even though water, the earth, the different elements that has gone into the body, even though they get separated, but still it will have that foul smell. This is the situation with this body. Whereas Atma is concerned, he is independent, he never gets stinking, he has any of those problems what body has got. That is what Niralma means. Then next one, he says, Niralma Atmalpanapana. Atmalpanapana. Atmana paraha. So, Atma, the most difficult thing is, it is way beyond our power of thought. That's Atma. With your mind and intelligence, you can't capture Atma, understand Atma. You can't comprehend Atma, what Atma means. Only through the symptoms you can know some things about Atma. But really, in experience level, to know what Atma is, impossible. Through the mind and the intelligence. So, therefore, Atmana paraha, he says there. That, all that, you, if you use all your thought power, ability to think and analyze and everything, still, beyond all that capacity, Atma remains. Whereas the body, what about the body? Body, you can always see your body very nicely, and at the same time, when the changes are happening in the body, we get distressed. When the pain comes, we get distressed. We even say where the pain is, and we put the medicine there. Or if you have a heart attack, I say, oh, I had a heart attack. Or I had a stroke, or I had cancer, or I had this. Everything is so much discussed and separated and told by the doctors and the medical science, is it not? So with the body you can do all these things. With the Atma, you can't do anything what you are doing with the body. Medical science can analyze this body very nicely and tell you a lot of the anatomy of the body and all kinds of things they talk about this body. Research is still, they are doing research. But they haven't got a clue that this whole body is dependent on that vastu inside, Atma. What's the use? Isn't it? What's the use at the end? So, this is the way this whole science is, depending on this. So, and when the change is happening in this body, it's getting old, hair is going grey, you feel bad, or it's changing, losing strength, everything. But from about Atma, you don't have to lament about it. Like the way you lament about the body. You're feeling misery about the body, you don't feel misery about the Atma. It's not. So, that is why Atmana paraha, he says here. Eka shuddha svayam jodhi nirguna osau gunashraya sarvago anavrda sakshi niralma atma atmana param. Niralma atma atmana param. So, in whichever way you think about the soul and the body, they are always different. That's Krishna's point. Whichever way you think about this, soul and the body, they are two different, completely different, opposing things it is. That is what he's saying there. Eighth verse. Evam sandam atmanam atmastam veda purusha na jade prakritistobi talgunai samayisthidaham. Ya evam sandam atmanam atmastam veda purusha na jade prakritistobi talgunai samayisthidaham. A person who has this understanding about the Atma. Understanding means not with the mind, but in the realization. One who has that and knows these things, that, and is always in that state, such a person, even though he is in the body, he is not bound by the body. Even though he is in the body, he is not bound by the body. That is Krishna's point. A person, evam sandam atmanam atmastam. Atmastam means he is established in the soul. Such a person, Veda Purusha, na ajyade prakritistobi talgunai samayistida. Even if he is in the prakriti, but still he is not affected by the prakriti dharma. Prakriti dharma does not affect him. Prakriti dharma means what? Birth, death, old age, disease, hankering, lamentation, and hunger, thirst, all these things won't affect him, because even though he is within the prakriti, with the body, but because he is disconnected from the body itself, all these things has no effect on him. That is what Krishna is saying there. That means, even though he is inside the prakriti, the three modes or the gunam of the prakriti does not give him any trouble. It's not bothering him anymore. So, that means one person who has known all the time that he is Atma, he is seated on the platform of the soul, and because he is situated in Atma, he is situated in Krishna, and he will never have any more problems afterwards. So, Krishna is saying to Pridhu that you are a person like that, and therefore these problems should not come to you. Problems should not happen to you. Krishna is saying to Prithu. That means that the question is that after this 100th sacrifice, when it was being performed, when Indra came and put the obstacles to that sacrifice, and Brahma came and spoke to Prithu. Prithu's son, his name is called Vijidashva. Vijidashva wanted to, he was a powerful person, he wanted to arrest Indra and bring him. And in the sacrifice, wanted to offer Indra into it and kill him there. This was what was happening in that big sacrifice. The rishis were present there. When they wanted to help Prithu, because Prithu has done so much for them, so they had a great admiration for Prithu. He brought a land which was totally in a very bad state. People were starving and there was nothing growing, no food, no proper comforts in life. Whereas, imagine what Prithu has done to that whole planet. Prithu not only gave them the food and shelter, also gave them a direction in life, what for one should live in this world, and given them enough understanding about spiritual life. Many of them followed Prithu more like a guru than a king. To that extent he has influenced them. Prithu has influenced them. So the rishis were very pleased with him by his service to the people, the way he conducted his administration and the spiritual side. Only you will actually be amazed by Prithu Maharaj's relationship with the Krishna. And many, many devotees have taken complete shelter of this Prithu's teachings in the Bhagavatam. So, there, he's saying there that in that sacrifice when Indra created this problem, the rishi suggested to him, Atri Maharshi was there. Atrima, the Indra took a very clever way. He was using his Maya and hiding from others and was stealing the horse. The horse was tied to that post, Yupam, they call it. And they went there, and Indra goes there, and when the sacrifice was going on, he will untie the horse from the Yupam, from the post, and take it away. And nobody could notice that. Only Atrimarshi found out and told Vijidashwa, look, there goes the horse for the sacrifice. Go and bring him back. Vijidashwa did this twice. Third time, Vijidashwa said that I'm going to let him go. I'm going to bring him here and offer him in the fire, because Prithu is such a powerful person, all the powerful personalities were present there. So it was more or less decided that Indra is going to be sacrificed, is going to be killed in the sacrifice. When that stage comes, it was then that Brahma says to Prithu that you shouldn't do this. After all, you are such a great personality. You have such a higher association. What Indra didn't have, you had that with the four Kumaras and others. And if you act like this, then that's not very appropriate. And then with that understanding, Prithu Maharaj immediately said, I'm not going to do that. And then Krishna appeared and instructed him. It is thus instructions what we are now talking about, right? So Krishna says to Prithu that this kind of problems in this world goes away with proper spiritual enlightenment. When you have proper spiritual knowledge inside, and if it is working well inside, all these kind of issues should not become a problem at all. And that is what Krishna is saying here. And then you can see the next verse. Ya swadharmena mam nityam nirashishagdhayanvita vajadeshanagaistasya manorajan prasidati. Then, ya swadharmena mam nityam nirashishagdhayanvita vajadeshanagaistasya manorajan prasidati. Krishna is saying that one who lives in this world, but busy with the dharma, what has been given to him. That means his karma is in that level. Which, what is that? He knows his dharma in this world, what he has to do. Not for the sake of name and fame. Doing it as a prarabdham that's coming through this body. In the Kapilam, Kapila Maharshi's teachings to Devahuti Devi, you will see this spoken. Yashasse Aishwaryam. That means opulences and fame. For that things, one who is working is Rajasik. Rajoguna Bhakti. One who executes Bhakti for the sake of name and fame, it is Rajasika Bhakti. Right. Whereas, whatever bhakti one executes in the mode of goodness, sattvika bhakti, and all his karma is guided in that way for pleasing Krishna, and his mind in due course of time will become purified. Mind will become purified. Rajasa bhakti, tamasa bhakti won't purify. Sattvika bhakti will purify a person. So, those who have got that manaprasadam or mind got purified through satya bhakti, then he will get separated from the three modes of material nature. Krishna is saying that. That's what he's saying. Yasodharmena mam nityam nirashi shraddhayanvita bhajate shanagai tasya manurajan prasidati. So, ya sodharmena mam nityam nirashi shraddhayanida. Nirashi shraddhayanida is a symptom of sattvika bhakti. So, by executing bhakti in the sattvika level, sattvika stage, eventually what will happen? It will purify one's mind and you will see that in the first canto also. What does it say? Look at that. When everything what you read later is all there in the first canto itself. The same thing is spoken later in a little different way. So, first canto, second chapter, if you look. Yes. Yeah. If you look at that verse, 17 onwards. Shrunodvam sakata krishna katham krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyandasto hyabhadrani vidhinodi suhril sadam nashta prayesha badreshu nityam bhagavada sevaya bhagavadi uttama shloge bhaktir bhavadi naishtiyi. Then what happens? Tada rajastamo bhavam kama lobhadayaschaye cheda medirana vidam sthidam sattve prasidadi. So as long as there is execution of bhakti in rajogunam and tamogunam, the qualities of rajogunam and tamogunam, what are they? Kamam, lobham, greed and desires. Once you broken away from that, durvasana, when you are broken away from that, mind will become purified from that, and it will turn into satogunam. That means rajo rajasi. That is why bhakti in two places in the Bhagavadam, bhakti has been given a very clear definition, isn't it? One is in the Kabilam, Kabila Maharshi to Devahuti Devi. Sati, there he addressed this as satiya bhakti, rajasa bhakti, tamasa bhakti, in that way. Ekadasha skandam, when navayogis are talking to Nimi, at that time, they classified bhakti in three other ways. Not based on the modes of nature, but the prathama pragrita bhaktan, madhyama bhaktan, uttama bhaktan. So, in pragrita level, it is very much influenced by the rajogunam and tamogunam. As you move up from there, come to the madhyama adhikari or madhyama level, there is somewhat bhakti, you can say. But only in the sattviya level it is even called bhakti. Everything else is called sadhana. Even though you call it as sadhana bhakti. Right? Here also, evam prasanna manaso bhagaval bhakti yogada bhagaval tattva vijnanam mukta sangase jayade. Tattva jnanam will only happen in sattviya bhakti. It won't happen in rajasik bhakti or tamasik bhakti. Only in sattviya bhakti tattva jnanam will come. That's another thing. Only in sattviya bhakti tattvajnanam will come. Then Krishna, Sudha Goswami says there, vidya deha deha grandi, chidyande sarva samshaya, shiyande chasya karmani, drishto evalpani ishwari, adho vai kavayo nityam bhaktim parvayamuda, vasudeve bhagavadi kurvandi alpa prasadanim. And in the next verse is what it says, sattvam rajastama idi prakrdeh gunaster, tukta param purusham egamihasya dhathe, stityadaye hari virinji haredi samnya shrayamsi tatragalu sattvatana or nirnamsyu. That sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, these three modes of nature is present in the prakriti. And the supreme person, he uses these three modes of nature for creation, for maintenance and for dissolution. Srishti, sthiti and samharam. It happens because three modes of nature is necessary for that purpose. And for that purpose, he takes these three forms also, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. But in that, we will only get the benefit in all this when we cultivate Sattvagunam. Only Sattvagunam out of these three gunam will lead to liberation, nothing else. Rajogunam and Tamogunam is not helpful for that. So therefore, the stressing the importance of sattvagunam. And that is why he is saying here that yasodharmena mam nityam nirashi shraddhayanyuda bhajade shanagaistasya manurajan prasidati. When will that happen? Nirashi shraddhayanyuda. Nirashi means free from the desires and full of shraddha, attention in everything what you are doing based on the teachings of what is read in the Kavila Maharshis, that sattvagunam level of executing bhakti. Only when bhakti is executed in that way, that will tell. Bhajade shanagaisthasya. Little by little, what will happen? Mano rajan prasidati. Manaprasadam will come. Manaprasadam means the mind will become purified of all the lower qualities. Lower qualities will all go. Kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam, irshya, dvesham, all kinds of things, asuya, things like that. All of these things will go, and that's what is called mano rajan prasidati. At that time, the mind comes to a proper state. Mano rajan prasidati. Then, after that he says, and one who has got that manaprasadam, he will break away from the modes of nature. He will break away from the modes of nature. Parityakta guna samyak darshano vishadashaya shanti me sam avasthanam brahma kaivalyam asnute. Parityakta guna sarvo samyak darshano vishadashaya shanti me sam avasthanam brahma kaivalyam asnute. Once this manaprasadam comes in a person, then he goes beyond the three modes of nature. And after self-realization, he comes to this what called as Brahma Kaivalyam or self-realization. Brahma Kaivalyam, and that shanti that comes from that happens to him. Happens to him. And that is called Surupasthiti, establishing one's own self. Establishing one's own self. So, that's what he is saying there. Because at that time, he has inside, once that impurities have gone, he has become big in his heart. He is not seeing the world anymore through Namarupam. Namarupam has gone from inside. He can't anymore see others through Namam and Rupam. Namam, when you see a person through Namarupam, Ragadvesham will be there. Right? And when Ragadvesham means, that means you are still limited in our vision, right? So, but when Namarupam goes away from inside, it will be like the sky, it will expand and recognize like that. So, he will develop an outlook in life which will be all-embracing for the world. And practically all the modes of nature, or nature means the qualities of this world. What are the qualities of this world? Qualities of this world is all these things. Which one? Envy, pride, false ego, and hate, and anger. All these are the qualities of this world. All these qualities has left him. And he become totally absorbed only in the truth. He has no connection with the qualities of this world. And that is what is called Samyak Darshanam. Samyak Darshanam. Krishna also says this later in the Ekadasham also. That means that such a person, he says, Shandi comes to him. Shandi me sam avasthanam brahma kaivalyam asnude. So, in so many places in Bhagavad Gita and in the Bhagavadam, Krishna will point out to us that before you get to that Brahman realization state, Shanti will be there in that person. Not ecstasy, Shanti. Sometimes you think if you feel ecstatic, ecstasy is like this, it will come and it will go. It won't stay. Shanti will stay in a person. So, Shanti is the word used everywhere. You remember, Tataparam Shanti Ubayati Sakshal says Hari Maharshi, Navayogi Samvadam. And Bhagavad Gita also in so many places, Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So, Shanti is a symptom of a person before Brahma Kaivalyam Ashnure. He says Brahma Kaivalyam will follow that Shanti. Shanti is that state. So, here, he says here that then he is experiencing in his life in this world only one thing. What is that? Shanti. Shanti is the one that he is experiencing here, and Kaivalyam is another name for that, and Kaivalya Anandam. Anandam, or the bliss that is coming from that, that alone he is experiencing here. So that is another place where Krishna is stressing the importance of Shanti. Importance of Shanti. Parityakta guna samyak darshano vishadashaya shanti me sama avasthanam brahma kaivalyam asnude. Then next one. Udasinam ivadhyaksham dravya jnana kriyalpanam kudastamimamalpanam yo veda apnodi shobhanam. Udasinam adhyaksham dravya jnana kriyalpanam kudastamimamalpanam yo veda apnodi shobhanam. At that point he will realize, at that stage, that he is beyond this prakriti. He is able to stay above the prakriti. Prakriti gunam will not disturb him. That means he is above the prakriti. He stands above the prakriti. He is separate from the prakriti and he is above the prakriti. Above the prakriti. And also he will have the same quality like the Atma. What was that? He will feel this witness feeling. Everything is happening in the world as before. Nothing has changed. But previously he was acting with attachment and aversion. Now he will act in this way as a witness to everything, what is going on. Dravyam, jnanam, kriya. All these things he is in control. Dravyam, jnanam, kriya. Then, udasinam iva adhyaksham dravyam jnana kriyalpanam. Remember these three words, dravyam, jnanam, kriya. How many times have we spoken about that? In Saptamaskandam, in the Sadajara Nirnayam, where Srinarada Maharshi talks to Yudhishthira, he talks about dravyadvaidam, kriyadvaidam, bhavadvaidam. Is it not? So, dravya jnana kriya atmagam. It says here that the dravyam jnanam kriya, all these three things is under his control. Is not under its control anymore. They are under his control. And what else? Kodastham. Kodastham. That means he knows who he is. He is Kodastham. He is dwelling inside this body. He knows like that. That he is dwelling in the body. Not that he is the body. He is dwelling inside the body. That realization. And then in this way, whoever knows himself, Kodastham imam altmanam yo veda apnodi shobhanam. That such a person, this knowledge, that means his jnanam has become vijnanam. It has come to his realization. He had the knowledge, but it has become more into the realization level and it starts shining in that way in him. Vinnasya lingasya guna pravaho dravya kriya karaka chedanatmana drishta su sambal su vipal su surayo na vikriyande mai baddha sauhradaha samasamanottama madhyamadhama sukheja dukheja jitendriyashaya mayopukta akhila loka samyuto vidhalsa veera akhila loka rakshanam. When he comes to that stage, he is able to very clearly differentiate this body and mind, intelligence, that is where the contact with the world is. That's where the contact with the world is. That means that material existence, which is what we call as bondage or samsaram, is only for the body, mind and the intelligence, ahankaram. They are the ones which are actually experiencing the bondage, not for the self. So, therefore, what happens is, those who have come to that level, they are never affected by anything, what happens in this world. So, good thing happens, bad thing happens, they are not controlled by those emotions. That's what he's saying here. Vinnasya lingasya gunapravaham dravya kriya karaka chetanatmana drishtasu sambalsu vibalsu surayo na vikriyande mai baddha sauhrida. That means his connection with the self is very firmly established. Because it is so firm established with the self, Anything that is happening into the body, he says here, bhinnasya lingasya gunapravaham. Because the changes, what is happening in us, is due to gunapravaham. Gunapravaham means the flow of the modes of nature. When the modes of nature is flowing through us, we are experiencing different emotions in us, isn't it? Anger, hate, love, happy, distress. All these things is due to the flow of the three modes of nature through us. Rajogunam, tamogunam, satogunam. Like that. Dravya kriya karaka chedana atmana. That the body is due to dravyam, dravyam, kriya, all these things, karakam, the cause, or the chedana atmana, drishtasu sambalsu vipalsu surayo, na vikriyande mai bhadda saukhrida. So those things that drishtasu sambalsu vipalsu surayo, good thing happens in life or bad things happens in life, na vikriyande, they won't get affected by that. Mai bhadda saukhrida. Why? Because they are so closely connected with me. When Krishna says connected with me means connected with the Atma. Self-realization, in other words. It is so strongly in them. Samasamanotama madhyama athama. Sukheja dukheja jidendriya shaya. Mayoba krupta akhila loga samyudo vithalswa. Veera akhila loga rakshanam. So, such a person, he won't look at other people higher and lower. That such a thing won't exist in him. He's not looking at anyone. He is a higher, bigger person, more important. He is a lower person, not important. That kind of vision goes away from him. And in happiness and distress, he will have equal mind, not complaining about anything. And complete control of the mind and the senses. And above all, Krishna says, Mayoba klupta akhila loka samyudo vithalswa veera akhila loka rakshanam. That means that he has got all the capacity to live in this world and able to maintain this world. Such a person who is in that state. So those two verses Krishna is talking about that Krishna is saying here that a person who has come to this level, that to this realization, and who does not look at others higher, lower, happiness and distress, this differences, dvaidam from him has gone away. Now for him everything is equal. Happiness comes. Same thing in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna puts it in a different way. Is it not? If you look into the Bhakti Yogam chapter, what did Krishna say about bhakti? This is what he is talking about there also. Adveshta sarvabhodanam maitra karuna evaja nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sukhakshami santushta sadadam yogi yad alma drida nishchaya may arpida manobhukti yomal bhakta same priya esmano dujade logo logano dujade jaya harsha amarsham bhayam udvegam yome bhakta same priya. That harsham, amarsham, bhayam, udvegam, all these kind of things is not there in him anymore. Such a person is very dear to me. And that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna puts it in another way here. That's all. Message is exactly the same. It's exactly the same. So, after that he says there, that once these differences have gone, and then happiness and distress, that is also another dvaidam in us, that also goes away, and he also got complete control of the mind and the senses. And such a person who is present in this world, he is fully conscious that he is living in this world, in this particular body, only because Krishna has sent me with this body here. And he is aware of that. And therefore, you should do what you are supposed to do here. Prithu, Krishna says to Prithu, the responsibility what I have given to you, execute that work properly and live like that in this world. This is how Krishna instructed Prithu about that. He says to him that this responsibility I have given to you. And execute that activity properly for the protection of this world. Because he is a king. Prithu is a king. Isn't it? That's all what is expected from you. He's saying. That's all what is expected from you. You don't have to do anything else. I have sent you here with a purpose. And you have that understanding of who you are, what you are. With that consciousness, you execute your duty as a king in this world. That's what he's saying there. The duty of the king is to look after the subjects. And also, not looking after, just giving them food and shelter. That is in the modern world, isn't it? Everybody should have a home and everybody should have food to eat. Then the country is in the happy state. So many funny ideas we have got. What do they say? And also you should have work to do, 24 hours. You should have enough work to do. Then life is blissful. Is it not? So that is not how Prithu Maharaj saw the life. Prithu Maharaj didn't see like that. You say, Prithu himself will talk about that later. You see that? Shraya praja palaname varajyo yal sambaraye sugradal shashtamamsham harthanyada hridavunya prajanam arachida karaharokhamati. He says that a king who is maintaining his subjects properly, what is that properly means? Not just giving them food and shelter. The higher responsibility than that is to guide the people in the right direction, make the facilities for them to execute spiritual life, and stress the importance of spiritual life in this world, and guiding them in their advancement in spiritual path. That is the duty of the king. You see, very higher principles. And this was the tradition what the great rishis have taught to the king. And that's what they followed. All of them you will see, Yudhishthira and Parikshit, Ambarish, many, many great personalities. All the kings whom you read in the ninth canto, why their names are mentioned there? For this reason. They were successful in doing that. Actually, if you read the ninth canto, you will see one interesting thing. There is so many names mentioned there. Ninth canto is full of names, isn't it? You can't remember even those names. It is so many. And you start wondering how Sugar Brahmarshi remembered all these things. Sugar Brahmarshi says, it will take 100 years for me to tell you all the names, he says, who have taken over the administration for so this son, his son, this son, his son, this son, his son, it goes. Like the train going on the railway track, chuk, 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 like that, it goes on like that, the list. And when you start reading, oh, it is too much on this list. And you start wondering, what am I supposed to know about, all? Why do I have to know? Reason is this, it is in the ninth canto, that Ishanukatha. Ishanukatha means that the story of those great personalities who followed this tradition. What was that tradition? Their concern was their subjects should advance spiritually, not materially. Material necessities they have to provide. That's all. Not more than that. Economic development was never the goal. Material necessities should be there. Spiritual advancement should happen. This is the noble principle. And that they knew well. All these great personalities, they knew that. Material necessity should be there so that you shouldn't starve, you should be able to live in this world, but not for economic development. This economic development has driven the whole world crazy. Is it not? You can see what's happening. Where is this going to end? It's coming from the total madness, isn't it? So, economic development is not the goal of life. Dharmam is only for the sake of maintaining this body. But ultimate goal is to take the subjects towards the self-realization. Educate them spiritually, develop them spiritually, and the best way to teach them is being an example themselves. That's what they did. That was their greatness. Yudhishthira, Ambarish, Parikshit, and many, many others listed in the ninth canto, they were all examples. By their own examples, others seeing the king is doing this, naturally they are encouraged to follow that same route. But if the king himself is hunting after enjoyment, what do you expect from the subjects then? Isn't it? So, this is the thing. That's why in everywhere in the Bhagavatam you'll find this. Wherever there's an opportunity, Krishna will say these things, that this is the goal, this is the way to live. Everything is spoken very precisely to us. So that's what he's saying there also, that if you do like that, the king gets a benefit. That is the king's benefit. 1/6 of the benefit goes to him. That whereas any king who accepts the tax without doing all these things, simply extracting the money from the public and making a life comfortable, then he says that he will get all the results of all the sinful activities of all the people, 1/6 of that he will get it. So you can see where the destination is for most of them. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.